Winnie who now? Being truly helpful happens one-to-one. We are all in this together. No matter how unrelated you may appear to be to one another, the fact is we are all related to one another in our experience of being human. We share the air, water, and space, but what really makes us all related is that we share inspiration. Inspiration is like the air, as we are all breathing it in all of the time. Inspiration is like the water, as it quenches our thirst for fulfillment. Inspiration is like the space, in that it is everywhere, always. There is no place inspiration is not. This comes into our awareness as we are willing to pay attention. There is no place inspiration is not. This comes into our awareness when we share inspiration one to one. Now, this all sounds nice and cozy and all, but I guess you have noticed by now that sharing the air, water, and space seems a lot easier than sharing inspiration. Otherwise, wouldn't we now have more peace-filled relationships? What happens in the cubicle is that even though we see one another, after all, we're everywhere, it seems we move about as if we are alone. This is the result of the cubicle mindset. It is precisely this squared-off, locked-up, and checked-up-with-nobody mindset that leads us to not even notice that we are not alone. We are actually in relationship to each other. Ah, shocking, I know. But someone was going to tell you sooner or later. So aren't you glad you found out this way, rather than through some mean old Santa Claus at the end of a 12-hour shift without a lunch break? And a hemorrhoid, no doubt. So, now you know the truth. We are all related and in relationship. This explains why helpfulness happens one-to-one, therefore cannot happen in the cubicle mindset of aloneness. So in every relationship, there is one-to-one, a nut and a bolt. Sometimes we're nuts and sometimes we're bolts, but one thing is sure, a nut is useless without a bolt, and a bolt serves no purpose without a nut. Much like giving and receiving, they always go together. Thus, the nuts and bolts of every one-to-one connection is giving and receiving. The cubicle self mindset of giving and receiving is giving and taking. In every cubicle relationship, there is a giver and a taker. Just like the cubicle self to be keeping score while playing solitaire. How is it, you may ask, that giving and receiving are one and the same? Giving and receiving are one and the same because inspiration springs forth from both giving and receiving. Now, being inspired beings, we already have inspiration to give. We simply need to be willing to receive what is already ours, saying, "Yes, I'll take it." And now in giving inspiration, we receive inspiration yet again, because it is in our giving from inspiration that we realize we have it. This is impossible for the cubicle self to grasp, because one hand is frantically and or reluctantly giving in hopes of getting something in return. Otherwise, it is just chalked up to more sacrifice. And the other hand is feverishly and or cautiously taking out of greed based on a sense of lack, and neither hand knows what the other hand is doing. So no true giving and receiving is really taking place at all. Imagine two people agreeing to play toss, and one keeps tossing balls, and the other keeps catching balls. But the one who is tossing never gets to catch, and the one who is catching never gets to toss. The tosser runs out of balls to toss, and the catcher runs out of balls to catch. If you see yourself as part of a giver-taker relationship, well, it takes two to tango, baby. What is it that you think you are giving? What is it that you think you are taking? Is this an enjoyable game your little cubicle self is playing in your little cubicle heart mind? Or have you worn holes in your socks giving and filled up on an endless supply of nothing taking? In cubicle giving, there is always a point where there is simply nothing left to give. The tank is empty. In cubicle taking, there is always a point where what is being taken has lost its taste. Boring. What usually happens then? The cubicle self is relentless at seeking and finding new cubicle self playmates. Cubicle givers generally remain cubicle givers as if branded by birth, and cubicle takers tend to remain cubicle takers as if giving were a four-letter word. What's a cubicle self to do? I know, says the cubicle giver. I'll become a cubicle taker. I'll zip up my pockets, sew my arms crossed together, and crazy glue my right hand to my left hand. No more giving for me. No, sir, I have had enough. It is my turn. Ha! Try this on for size, all you cubicle takers. I'm brand new Betsy with a brand new tune. My days of being taken advantage of are over. Well, unless you're really nice to me. No, I mean it. That's it. No more giving from me. I am just going to sit back and take. Take, 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 take. Now, the cubicle takers are often not so dramatic unless the givers stop giving, and then they might act upset. Takers are more sly and clever than that. In fact, they have developed a keen sense of finding the cubicle givers when they least expect it. No one is the victim here, for you see, the cubicle givers are happy as clams being the givers until their giving isn't getting them what they had planned for. Whether it was the conscious, subconscious, or unconscious involved, the cubicle self always has a plan. Back to the cubicle taker. Now, these guys generally do not come off immediately as takers. The facade is usually one of temporarily out of luck, self-sufficient, frugal savers watching every penny. Giving a lot initially to appear as a cubicle giver, then slowly slithering over into the taker category as soon as the cubicle giver is fully on board and giving is pouring in. A cubicle taker may attempt, but generally only briefly, to change their ways and try their hand at being a cubicle giver. But having spent their whole life taking, they don't even know how to pretend give. And even if they can mimic being a giver, generally their weakness for patience wears off. What tends to happen with the cubicle giver transformed cubicle taker is they just can't take it anymore. The lack of giving is killing them because, after all, that is who they are, givers. They say to themselves, if I can't start giving to somebody somewhere, I'll just dry up and die. I think I'll bake a cake for somebody. The question remains, just what are they truly giving? Since with the whole giving process, they always seem to find themselves withering away and wind up at a dead end. What tends to happen with cubicle takers trying on cubicle giving for size is that initially it feels kind of good thinking of someone other than themselves. But after a while, they start wondering, if I'm not thinking of myself, who will be? If I'm not around someone who is constantly focusing on taking care of me, how will I survive? Oh my, I better put an end to this before I cease existing. Here the question remains, if this whole taking thing is such a great idea, how come I never feel satisfied? No matter how much I take, no matter how much seems to be given. Both cubicle givers and takers can be quite charming and appear to be helpful. You see, cubicle givers tend to have a better reputation in the cubicle world than cubicle takers. So it is best to appear as if you are a giver, even if you are a taker. However, being that both givers and takers both have a sense of lack and aloneness as their source, there is no qualitative difference between them. Really, we could say that the givers are just as much takers because their giving is conditional, though maybe appearing unconditional, and the takers can be extravagant givers, all as a means of hiding a deep sense of insecurity. Cubicle giving and taking stem from insecurity, being they are rooted in lack. One cannot give what one does not have, and well, what is there really to take in nothingness? Nothingness with conditions and expectations, I might add. Maybe in cubicle taking, we may think we are really getting away with something, but sure enough, if you have been taking from a cubicle giver, one day there will be a price to pay. You see, in cubicle giving and taking, nothing is free. There are always strings attached, strings in the form of expectations. It is truly a wild hunting game of sorts, predator and prey, prey and predator, controller and controlled, controlled and controller. The roles of giver and taker are not so cut and dried, black and white. What is cut and dried is that underlying both roles is fear. Fear and more fear. And then, in an effort to not feel the fear, we try to pass it off onto somebody else like a hot potato. It is like someone let a secret out of the bag, and rather than admitting the mistake, she looks shocked that anyone would do such a thing and joins the manhunt to track down who let the cat out of the bag. This evil person must be found and proven guilty, because she is not going to take the rap for letting loose on the secret, for it is just too unbearable to feel all that guilt. But somebody is going to have to feel it. So you see, fear and guilt are at the bottom of this cubicle giving and taking in all relationships. If I just give enough, I will not have to feel this fear and guilt. If I just take enough, I will not have to feel this fear and guilt. Now, feeling guilty about your cubicle giving and taking, as well as blaming, being it is all part of the cubicle script, will only perpetuate the mess. Instead, just admit your cubicle giver and or taker status and ask your inspiring self-heart-mind to show you another way. Because one day, those cubicle giver and cubicle taker walls start needing yet another paint job, and, well, at some point, the paint fumes become sickening, the paint brushes harden, and the paint runs dry. Sound familiar? Do you want to remain in the cubicle world of all false giving and never really receiving anything real or giving anything real? Do you want to remain in the cubicle world of all taking and never truly giving anything worthwhile or receiving anything worthwhile? Think about it for a moment. While you are thinking, ask yourself, who is answering this question? The cubicle self or my inspired self? The self who needs to be identified and justified, or the self who is experiencing peace? The inspiring self, heart, mind uses the air, water, and space. This would include the body, only for truly useful, worthwhile, and meaningful purposes. The inspiring self, heart, mind makes use of relationships only for truly giving and truly receiving by being truly helpful. Okay, cubicle giver, are you ready to stop singing, "Give you all I got until I got nothing left to give," and finding yourself with nothing? You too, cubicle taker. Are you ready to stop singing, taking all I can get while I can get it, and finding yourself with nothing? Though these appear as two separate and distinct ways of being in relationship, they are in fact one and the same. Either path you take, you end up nowhere with nothing and trying to take it with you. Inspired giving and receiving gives you the benefits of both giving and receiving, two for one. Now, that's an inspiring deal.